Welcome to part two of my training on how to get the confidence to say what you want in English. We've been working with one simple technique that will help you gain clarity, fluency, and freedom in your English. So I'm curious, did you have the opportunity to take action yesterday? Did you complete that first task that I shared with you? If you haven't, I want you to pause here, go back to part one, download the PDF that I made available to you, and complete that first task. Once you've done that, come right back here and let's keep going. Now, if you did complete it, I want to know how it went for you. You can reply to any of my emails. My team and I, we read every email that we get, and I really want to know how that first practice went for you. Again, it's okay if you didn't like it. It's okay if it was totally awkward. That is perfectly normal. And I want you to also know that I'm super proud of you for doing it. Taking action requires courage. It requires determination. So I'm glad that you've done that. Now, for this training today, I want to answer two common questions I get. Number one, don't I need feedback from a teacher to really know if I'm making progress? And number two, how long or how often should you practice in order to see progress? After I answer those two questions, I also want to share with you a bonus PDF I have for you that will help you create a 4-week practice. I want to help you develop a meaningful habit in English, a habit that will lead to becoming a more confident, more fluent English speaker. Lastly, if you're curious, I'll also share my story of how I started to use this exact technique to gain confidence and fluency in my second language. So let's start with that first question on evaluating yourself versus getting feedback from a teacher or a native English speaker. As I'm sure you've noticed, this process emphasizes listening to yourself and evaluating yourself. And you might be worried, don't you need a native speaker to tell you what you're doing right or what you're doing wrong? This is an important question. The answer is there's tremendous value in getting feedback from others, whether it's other native English speakers, non-native English speakers, or English teachers. There's also tremendous value in listening to, evaluating, and giving feedback to yourself. Both are important. They both play an essential role in your progress moving forward. And they don't always have to happen at the same time. It's also important to know what exactly feedback is, because truthfully, you're getting feedback every single time you communicate in English. But before I talk more about that, let me talk briefly about getting feedback from a teacher. Without a doubt, getting feedback from a skilled teacher will help you make progress and advance your level. However, to get meaningful feedback from a teacher, there are two things that have to happen. Number one, you have to be learning with a teacher. And that teacher needs to be crystal clear about your current level in English and where you're going. Let me explain. Imagine you're learning to play the piano. You've learned to read music. So you can read music by Bach or Erik Satie, and you can play that song by reading the music. But you haven't memorized all the notes or all the chords yet. If your piano teacher listens to you and hears you make a mistake and then says, oop, you need to play a D7 chord there, but you don't know what a D7 chord is, you haven't learned them yet, or you haven't memorized them yet, then that feedback is not helpful. In fact, it can lead to increased frustration and confusion. Instead, a skilled piano teacher would understand that you had not learned or memorized those chords yet. Rather than tell you, play a D7, a skilled teacher would have you stop playing. You might go back to the sheet music to review what's written on the page. Your teacher would guide your fingers to where they need to be on the piano to play the correct chord, and then would likely guide you through a series of activities to help reinforce that learning, to develop that knowledge so that going forward, you would know what a D7 chord is And of course, that would need to be practiced time and time again to maintain that knowledge until it's permanent. The same is true in language. And unfortunately, I've heard many teachers interrupt students in the moment of speaking and say, oh, you need to use the present perfect, or oh, you should use the second conditional. And yet, the student doesn't know what that is yet. They haven't learned it. They haven't mastered it yet. There's no guidance in that process. And students sometimes mistake those interruptions for feedback, and yet they're not really getting feedback. All they know is they made a mistake, but they're not learning why or how to fix it. So if you're working with a teacher, you want to make sure that your teacher has a clear understanding of your level and can guide you forward. Now, what if you don't have an English teacher? What if you don't have the opportunity right now to learn with an English teacher? Well, you can also get feedback from others, other people that you communicate with in English. Let me go back to my student, Laura, who I told you about yesterday. If you remember, after giving her presentation, her boss said, "That was excellent, Laura, great job." And the chief marketing officer stopped her to say, "I don't know what was different, but that was so clear." Those two comments were feedback. Now, is it possible that Laura made a grammar mistake while she was speaking? Maybe. Is it possible that there was a word that she slightly mispronounced? It's also possible. However, she was able to communicate. She was understood. The information that she needed to share was shared and understood by others in a meaningful way. Communication happened. And the truth is, native speakers, the truth is, I make mistakes when I speak. It's inevitable. I sometimes mix up prepositions. I sometimes mix up my words. Sometimes my mouth doesn't work the way my brain wants it to. Those things happen to all of us, and it's okay. Now, that doesn't mean that we should make mistakes, and if we're making consistent mistakes, or if we're making mistakes that impact communication, we need to address them. Again, that's where the process that you're learning can come in helpful. It's where an English teacher or an English speaker who you trust can be helpful. Now, in addition to those comments from the CEO and the chief marketing officer, there was something else really important about that presentation that Laura gave. After she told me that story, I asked her, "Laura, did anybody stop you while you were speaking to say, 'I'm sorry, what was that?'" This is something Laura was really frustrated with. She had had multiple people stop her in previous presentations asking her to repeat herself, and it contributed to significant anxiety. And when I asked her that question, she stopped. She looked at me for a long time, and then she smiled and she said, "No, no one asked me to repeat myself." That is also feedback. If no one stops you to ask for clarification, if other people tell you what you said was clear or well understood or that you did a great job, that is feedback. Others are simply listening to you, engaging with you, communicating with you, and keeping the conversation going forward. That is a form of feedback. Now, of course, there will be times that mistakes might get made, and perhaps there's even some miscommunication and people don't stop to tell you. But most of the time, when communication needs to happen, if people don't understand, they will ask. And if you have an experience where, for the very first time, with people that you talk to regularly, if no one asks you to repeat yourself, then something has changed. And that's what happened for Laura. So we've talked briefly about the power and importance, the pros and cons of getting feedback from a teacher. We've also talked about getting feedback from others. Now let's talk about giving feedback to yourself. First of all, it's something that you can do anytime and from anywhere. The practice activity I shared with you of preparing, speaking, listening, and evaluating, you can do this from anywhere in the world and at any time of day. It's also extremely cost-effective. And lastly, it gives you power over your learning. As I mentioned yesterday, it teaches you not just to understand the English that you've learned, but to use the English that you've learned. Moreover, when you start to recognize mistakes that you've made and when you correct them based on the knowledge that you have in English, you're more likely to prevent or avoid making those mistakes going forward. This, in fact, is the most powerful way to overcome making common mistakes. Now, of course, you have to have that knowledge, and the truth is, you have been learning English for a long time. You do have understanding of grammar rules in English, and you have vocabulary in English as well. All three forms of feedback are important for your progress in English. They all have a role to play, and they might not all happen simultaneously. Right now, you might be in a situation where most of your feedback, or maybe all of your feedback, will come from yourself using this process that we've talked about. Or perhaps you're also in a situation where you can communicate with others, so you can get feedback from them as well. Maybe now or at some point in the future, you might also start working with an English teacher who can contribute to that feedback process. The important thing is to not eliminate or discredit the power of feedback from others and feedback from yourself. Now, question number two that I often get, how long and how often should you practice to make progress? The truth is, there's no timeline on progress, and progress can happen throughout our life. I'm a lifelong learner of French. I don't ever want to stop. I don't ever want to stop my progress. I am a lifelong learner in English as well. I am a much better speaker today than I was 2 years ago and 5 years ago, and definitely much better than I was 15 years ago. I don't see an end. I see an opportunity to always get better. And that actually helps me enjoy the process of learning as well. So there's no timeline. However, there are two things that are essential for you to make progress: consistency and quality. I want you to imagine three students. Student number one practices one day a week. Sometimes it's for 20 minutes, sometimes for 3 hours. It depends on the week. Student number two practices 3 times a week for 20 minutes each time. And then student number three practices every day, and they try to do the activities as fast as they can. Which student do you think is going to make the most progress? Student number two. Let me explain why. Student number two has two things: consistency, 3 times a week, and quality, short but effective practice activities that take 20 minutes. They focus for that 20 minutes on the activity, they remove the other distractions, and they learn each time. Because there's that consistency over time, they're always moving forward. Here's why. Let's talk about student number one. Student one practices 1 time a week, sometimes for 20 minutes, sometimes for 3 hours. There's a lot of time that passes if you're only practicing 1 time a week. If student number one practices on a Saturday, and then 1 week later they practice again, they probably won't remember everything from the week before, so they have to repeat that activity again. So rather than moving forward, they're just repeating the same thing over and over and over. Maybe if they study for 3 hours, they can move ahead, but again, they're going to probably forget most of it because they have to wait a whole week before they practice again. Student number three, they're practicing every day, but they're trying to do it as fast as they can. They're not really focused on the task. There's a lack of quality here. 3 days a week for 20 minutes where you remove the other distractions and you're focused gives you the consistency and the quality you need for meaningful progress. Now, if you're just beginning to create an English habit, I always recommend that you start small because you can always add more. So if you're just starting with an English practice habit, start with 2 days a week, but be consistent. Decide on the days that you will practice and do it the same every week. Create a habit. And while you're practicing, eliminate the distractions. Focus on the task at hand. Once you've got that established habit, you can add on a third day. To help you do this, I've got an extra bonus for you. I've got another PDF available for you, which you'll find down below this video. It's a 4-week plan that will help you create a practice of recording yourself. It will also allow you to track your habit and your progress. When you download that PDF, you'll notice that with each week on that document, I encourage you to speak for a longer period of time. And for each week, I add a new question prompt that gets a bit more challenging. Now, you may have noticed I said that I add a question prompt each week, not every day. This is more about a weekly practice, not a daily practice. And I want you to stay focused on answering the same question prompt repeatedly during a 1 week period of time. Now, you might do it 2 times during the week, or 3 or 4. The important thing is you're repeating that practice activity. You're repeating that same question. This gives you the opportunity you need to implement any changes you want to make based on your evaluations. To get that PDF and to begin your 4-week practice, you can download that document below this video. Now, to finish up for today and to bring this training to an end, I do want to share with you my own experience using this same method in my own second language learning, just in case you're curious. The truth is, in my daily life, I'm a super shy person and I'm highly introverted. In my native language, in English, I'm a shy person. I struggle sometimes with talking to strangers, and if I'm in a large group of people, I can easily feel overwhelmed and feel stuck or frozen. As an introvert, I prefer to think through everything first and have it perfectly organized in my mind before I say it out loud. And because those two things are true for me in English, they are absolutely true for me in French. I'm also terrified of making mistakes. I'm very much a perfectionist. I didn't start learning French as a child. I started learning as an adult, and I loved it. It became a hobby for me. I did everything in French for about 2 years of time. I had a private teacher. I also took group classes. I did grammar exercises and vocabulary exercises every single day. I listened to the news in French. I listened to the radio in French. I watched movies in French. My husband and I tried to speak in French. I had post-it notes and index cards with vocabulary all over my house. I did everything I could to learn French, and I loved it. It was really fun for me. And honestly, I felt fairly confident in my French. I thought that I understood the grammar rules really well. I had a pretty good vocabulary. I knew that I had some anxiety when I was speaking, but I also thought, well, I'm living in the United States. Maybe it's just because I don't get to speak French with French people every day. And then I moved to France. The first day was amazing. My husband and I, we walked around the neighborhood. We explored this new place that we were going to live. We were so excited. It was a dream come true for us. And then the next morning, I got up to go to the bakery to buy a baguette. And I froze. I panicked. I was standing in line, and all I could think about was, what if I make a mistake? What if the lady doesn't understand me? And I started to forget the words that I needed to use. I didn't want to get laughed at. There were people behind me in line, and I thought, I don't want them to hear me make a mistake. I don't want them to start laughing. I don't want them to get frustrated waiting for me because I keep making more mistakes. I just froze. All I needed was to buy a baguette, some bread, and I couldn't do it. I stepped out of the line, I walked home, and I was so embarrassed. I was so angry at myself and frustrated because I had spent so long. I had given so much energy to learning French, and I thought I loved it. I thought I understood it. And I discovered that I couldn't speak it, at least not yet. I was too shy, too nervous. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to overcome that. And then when I got home, I had to explain to my husband why I didn't buy any bread. He thought I was kind of crazy. We were both learning French. He was really fluent. He didn't feel afraid, even if he made mistakes. He's a very different kind of language learner than I am. So to be honest, after all of that, I felt defeated. I felt so embarrassed and frustrated. I felt like a failure because I'm also an English teacher. I've been an English teacher for more than 25 years. I should know how to learn and how to speak another language. But I didn't at that time. What I discovered is that the way I learned how to teach and advice that I would find online for how to become a fluent speaker didn't really work for me. For example, I would get advice that if I wanted to become more fluent, I need to just stop feeling afraid of mistakes and go talk to strangers. But I'm a really shy person who doesn't like talking to strangers. I don't enjoy small talk most of the time. And I'm a perfectionist. I can't just turn a light switch on or off and stop feeling afraid. It doesn't work like that. That kind of advice didn't work for me. I didn't want to sound silly or make silly mistakes. I didn't want people to laugh at me. So I knew I needed to do something different. I had to find another way. I was living in France. I needed to speak French every day, and I wanted to. I wanted to enjoy living in this new country. I wanted to talk with French people. I wanted to feel comfortable doing all of the things that you do in your daily life. I wanted to speak French. So I started recording myself. It was the only thing I could think to do. It was the one thing that wouldn't make me feel embarrassed if I made a mistake, because it was just me. Now, I didn't like it if I made a mistake, don't get me wrong, but I didn't have to worry about that fear of someone else laughing at me at the beginning. I could practice out loud. I could hear myself and I could recognize, oh, I made a mistake, let's fix that. I also noticed that because I was so afraid, I was speaking really quietly, and I realized that sometimes when people said, "What was that?" it wasn't because I made a mistake, it's because they couldn't hear me because I was so afraid to speak louder. That process of recording myself empowered me and helped me make changes that I wanted to make. And then step by step, I started to speak out loud everywhere I went. And I felt more comfortable doing it. Every time I had a positive experience, it encouraged me, it gave me confidence. And I kept up my practice. I still do that practice today, not just in French, but also in English. And to be honest with you, it didn't really take me very long to start getting that initial confidence in French. Within a couple of days, I was at the grocery store, I was at the bakery, I was at a cafe, and I felt totally fine. I just needed to get comfortable with myself in French and be aware of how I sounded in French in order to feel comfortable using it with other people. When I started that process of thinking about or preparing what I wanted to say, practicing it in speaking, listening to it, and evaluating myself, when I realized how powerful and transformational that was for me, I knew immediately that I needed to share it with my students. And so instantly, I started using it with my students, especially my students who, like me, tend to be very shy, very nervous when speaking, and highly introverted. And they also immediately started to feel more confident. They started to notice change and improvement in their accuracy and their fluency. And that's exactly why I'm sharing this with you today, because I know that it works. Yesterday, we talked a lot about why you're here, why you downloaded this training. There are things that you want to accomplish in life, and for one reason or another, you need English to do it, whether it's related to your job or your personal life. If fear in English, if shyness or anxiety is holding you back, it doesn't have to. Now, before we end, I want to say one more thing, because there's one final question I always get. Part of this process includes that word, prepare. And we can't always prepare for real life. There are questions that are unexpected. There are situations that we did not plan. And we do need to know how to speak in spontaneous situations. This strategy will actually help you be better prepared for those spontaneous situations. Let me give you just two examples. Let's say you have a business meeting coming up and you know the agenda ahead of time. You know what topics are going to be discussed. You can spend time before that meeting thinking about what you want to say, writing down some of those keywords, saying it out loud, recording yourself, listen to it, evaluate it, think about what you forgot to include, or perhaps there's a better word that you can use. Practice it multiple times so that you start to feel comfortable with that key language, with the grammar structures and vocabulary that you're using. Get comfortable with your voice, expressing those ideas out loud. Doing that is going to help you get ready for that meeting. And when you have a positive experience with others giving you feedback in the moment by simply engaging with you and building on your idea, you gain confidence in that process. Confidence encourages us or helps us take risks. And speaking spontaneously often feels like a risk. But when you have that confidence to step forward, it feels okay to do that. So this process can help you not only in the moments when you can prepare, but it also builds up the confidence for the situations when you can't prepare. The same thing is true with small talk or chatting with neighbors. One of my secrets is when I go to dinner with friends or if I go to a neighborhood event, I know that I'll have to do some small talk. So I prepare in advance. I think about who's going to be there. Do I know who all of the neighbors are? Or do I know who in my friend group will be there? What do I know about these people? What do I know about their current lives or what's going on in the world? What do I know about their interests? And what are some questions I can use to start conversations with them? What are some questions I could use to get a conversation going and participate in that conversation? Now, that sounds like a lot of information, and the truth is, it doesn't take that long to think about it. I don't need to write those things down anymore. I do sometimes if I'm doing it in French, but I do this even in English. I just ask myself a few of those questions, I get prepared, and that gives me the confidence to be in those situations. And then, because of that increased confidence, I also feel ready for the more spontaneous situations or the unexpected as well. So now it's up to you. You have a PDF you can download that will help you take action over the next 4 weeks. It will give you a step-by-step process you can follow to develop a meaningful habit in English, a habit that will help you speak with clarity, fluency, and freedom. And along the way, it will build up your confidence. As you start to develop that habit, I would love to know how it's going. You can click reply to this email anytime and let me know. Also, to continue helping you, I would love to send you my weekly Confident English lessons. I share a new lesson every Wednesday, and you'll get them directly in your email inbox. If you want to do more and you'd love the opportunity to learn with me, there are two ways you can do that. Number one, I have an 8-week intensive speaking course called Fluency School. And I have a month-to-month online learning community for women called the Confident Women Community. If you're interested in either of those, I have links down below this video where you can learn more. With that, I want to thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for going through this long, in-depth training with me. And I hope you'll let me know how it goes as you implement this process of preparing, speaking, listening, and evaluating so that you make progress in your English confidence and fluency.